flavour.
This is Cambridge Radio.
I'm going to read you the menu. It's fantastic.
So we get better flavour because of the fen soil.
I've drunk more beer since I came here and bought my two barrels than I've ever done in my life before, I think.
I shouldn't have said almonds. They don't make it from almonds.
So you've got this big sticky mess when you start off.
Pizza pot pies.
My wife's cakes are selling up hot cakes. Brilliant, thank you.
The time is right for this sort of thing.
Food is everything.
Cambridge is right for this sort of thing.
What's it like?
Good afternoon and welcome to Flavour, Cambridge Radio's local food programme packed with food and drink news and stories. I'm Matt Bentman and, well, I'm without my colleagues today, Alan Alder and Sue Bailey, who are both away this week, but I have a crate load of throat pastilles with me in case I get croaky. I've had a very strong coffee to keep me going, and I've downloaded an app that will send randomised electric pulses to my brain if my eyelids shut for more than half a second. But none of those should be necessary because we have got loads of interesting features to listen to. For example, do you buy chocolate on Cambridge Market? Well, we can't let Easter go by without making a chocolate fuss, can we? And then there's a story of Cambridge juice, there's a new wine shop at Burwash Manor, Sweet Pea Market Gardens produce, and there's our regular features too. Free food in Cambridge, local food and drink news, social media updates, and at the end of the programme, our jobs roundup. So, we kick off with a trip to the city centre and one of my favourite places to visit. The Cambridge Market has been around since the Middle Ages. The stallholders are very friendly.
Welcome to Cambridge Market. Would you like a taste?
Morning.
Nice bit of bacon and sausage on the go.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hello,
good morning.
Morning.
Afternoon. I worked for that one, didn't I?
Morning.
Too early.
Yeah.
Today we're at Cambridge Market to visit Asley's cake stall. Now she's here every Friday to Sunday with fresh pastries and other goodies. In the last few years, the market really has gone food crazy. There's just so much to be found here. Here's Asley.
We are surrounded by paella, honey lemonade, Cyprus cuisine, coffees and smoking cow just next to me, and falafel wraps. Yeah, all friends just around me and sunny day. What you can ask for more?
Who's this guy carrying the water here?
Yeah, he's making coffees later for me.
Her stall is called Asley's Cakes and Bakery, with the tagline, happiness starts here.
When I start with my cakes and bakes, it took all my time at home to prepare for the market. Now life easier with my croissants.
So you started off doing cakes, but now you're specializing in croissants and pastries.
Exactly. I started with my cakes about 2 years ago now, and now became filled croissants, sandwiches, sweet and savory, and it's quite popular at the moment. So I'm glad that people just liked my croissants. We have also popular Dubai chocolate and strawberry Dubai chocolate cup, people's favorites. So we follow the viral things all around the world now.
I've never heard of Dubai chocolate before. What is special about Dubai chocolate?
It's all about one lady just invented in Dubai, so it just became popular with one video. It's more popular in Turkey than Dubai. And also I just brought my pistachio paste from Turkey originally, and I am originally Turkish. Yeah, I just combined with fine Belgian chocolate with my pistachio paste, and it's very nice.
Dubai Chocolate is a chocolate bar with a filling made of nafir and pistachio. Now, nafir is an Arabic dessert, really popular one too. And when you break the bar open, or you just bite into it, you get this greenish dessert inside, which is a mixture of this nafir and pistachio. And it's got a lovely crunchy texture too. The chocolate outside is very distinctive because it's almost graffitied, splashed with colour. This is a food designed for social media, with its brilliant colours and crunchy sound that have made it appear in TikTok videos, garnering several millions of views. Asley makes her version of this wildly popular bar here at her stall on Cambridge Market. Thousands of people pass through the market every day. I suppose as a stallholder, you become quite adept at interpreting the length of a glance.
Actually, I can read their faces when they're passing through my stall. Even they will buy something right away or keep in mind and come back later.
Is that the sort of thing you can denote in a split second? Where you go, I know you're probably going to come back.
That's the one. Spot on.
So today you have a collection of various croissants and fillings. Also, like you said, you're doing your Dubai chocolate dips. These are obviously much smaller, so you can pack in greater quantities to bring along with you every day.
Exactly, yes. I bring about 50 croissants, just plain croissants, and I fill them in here with pastry creams every morning when I come to market. I fill them freshly every day.
So is this why there is a different filling in every line, and then you make them fresh in front of the customer?
Yes, that's true. And then if they ask for more, I just make them freshly in front of their eyes. We have 7 sweet options and 2 savory options, but I'm planning to make more savory options for summer. So cold filling croissant, for example, maybe tuna or mozzarella and tomato croissants. So please keep an eye on my stall for more in the summer. Also, we will have ice cream.
That's interesting about the savory croissants being a summertime treat, because I would have imagined in my limited capacity that would be more successful in winter, but summer is good for that.
Yeah, summer is good for pesto, tomato and basil, like freshing bit and twist your summer.
Can we cover some of the fillings that you have here today?
And these are all the different types of fillings that you can get in your fresh croissant.
Yes, we have chocolate hazelnut, and we have the viral cookie croissant. They call it croquis. Also, we have vanilla pastry cream combined with Oreo cookies and cream, lotus biscuit, and also berries and cream options with the vanilla custard cream. Lastly, we have my signature pistachio pastry cream.
I get the impression that Asli loves pistachio more than anything else. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Filled with one of the option is raspberry. Another one is, of course, a viral Dubai chocolate croissant version.
My God, they look gorgeous. In one of your lines, the cookie croissant. Now, you've got a line of them. Is that because you know that they move quickly?
Yeah, as soon as people see it, they just ask. So that's why I keep them on the stall a few more. And also, it's really nice when it's warm. So we can warm them up in our toaster.
Okay.
So that's great. I also do the tiramisu as well, tiramisu cups. It's really milky, soft cream in between the sponge fingers with delicate coffee touch.
Is there a lot of temptation having all of these cakes and baked goods day and night, the beautiful cooking smells? How do you stop yourself from eating your own product?
Don't worry. I can manage. I can handle it.
I'm sure there was a phrase that went through my mind many years ago where someone said, never trust a skinny cook.
I like that. Yeah. Skinny cook. Yeah, I'm not that skinny, but yeah. Even now, smells of the market, you can just smell of the perfect meals for lunchtime or breakfast. You would be really happy to have them around you. It's been 6 years I started my small business.
Were you doing something different?
Yeah, I graduated from economics. So I work few places, logistic and account department. For 5-6 years, then I decided to turn my passion into baking and start my own business in my small kitchen.
People often think about pursuing their passions, and I think more often than not, they choose not to do it because of the risk involved. And what was the trigger point, the bit where you said, okay, I'm definitely doing this?
My partner one night said to me, I trust you, and then you can do it. I see you can do it, and so please just follow your dreams. And the following morning, I just said, okay, I'll start my own way. And then I gave my notice that morning, and after a month, I start my business.
Okay.
Really tough decision.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, everything is before you, but also the doubt.
I still have concerns. If it doesn't work, what can I do? But I never give up. Otherwise, I couldn't manage all these hard things.
And no matter what happens, you can always look back and say, I gave this a go.
Yes. All my heart is in my business now.
Well, thank you very much, Asli. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, thank you, Matt.
So, this is Asli's Cakes and Bakery.
Asli's Cakes, yeah. My name is Asli. It's my lovely small bakery in Cambridge. I'm glad to have my customers around me all the time. Yeah, they can find me here in Cambridge.
On Fridays, Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that was Asli Tabaki. And she is the person you want to go to if you're after things like eclairs, macarons, raspberry and hazelnut brownies, pistachio baklava, cheesecake, chocolate torte, pumpkin cheesecake, cookies, and so many more things. And if you fancy checking out Asli's wares, as well as visiting her stall, she does suggest that you check out her Facebook page, because as well as the croissants, the chocolates, the ice cream, she also has a cake business too. Lots of cakes, multi-tiered cakes of great one-off designs, and she has made hundreds of them, and she's always happy to accept new business. Asli's Instagram is similarly chock full of cakes. You can find her Facebook page at Asli Cakes and Bakery, and Asli is spelt A-S-L-I, whilst her Instagram is Asli's Cakes. That's all one word. Now, details of free food available in and around Cambridge, the information about what's available and where to get it, comes from the Olio app, which exists so that other people's businesses, foods, surplus doesn't go to waste. And in today's look at Olio for Cambridge, we see that Claudia in Beaumont Road off Queen Edith Way has stacks of tinned sweet corn available. Now, this is because she saved a load of it from Sainsbury's former pizza counter where they make the fresh pizzas. A maximum of 6 tins per person, if you're interested, she says. Meanwhile, Karen in Coldham's Lane has a pot of cream of tartar and, well, embarrassingly, that's it. It was a lot easier earlier in the week, but perhaps with Easter, more people are away, or they simply just don't have the time to deal with Olio business at this point. Seasonal dips, I suppose. But there's another free app called Too Good To Go, which has unsold food from restaurants, cafes and shops, often at less than half price. So instead of specifying each unsold item, the surplus food is simply put into a magic bag ready for you to take home, and that saves it being binned at the end of the day's trading. Now, some of the companies that have used Too Good To Go recently include independents, such as Norfolk Street Bakery, Bennett's and the Cambridge Oven. And there's big companies who get involved too, such as Pret A Manger, West Cornwall Pasty Company, Nine's Global Buffet, Pizza Express, Marks & Spencer, Gales, Spar and Aldi. You can really bag yourself a good deal with a Too Good To Go magic bag. It's usually about a third of the total price of the contents inside. Okay, let's go on to our first news briefing now, and we begin with Bushel Box Farm Shop in Willingham, which has now moved into its new building at 130 Station Road in Willingham. Next up is North Stow Tap and Social. Now, they've got a big birthday weekend right now, including two special brews from local brewers to celebrate the occasion. There's a coffee cupping session with Wood Street Coffee from Saffron Walden, Pastor Brewery with their range of wild ferments and barrel-aged beers. There's a whiskey tasting, and there's music and a film too, and that all takes place over this weekend at North Stow Tap and Social. Meanwhile, over in a packed congratulations corner today, we have Mark Poynton of MJP at the Shepherds. They're celebrating getting the Hardens Certificate of Achievement for very high quality food. The Cambridge Cheese Company is in there too, having been voted Best Artisan Food and Drink Producer in the Cambridge edition. Steak and Honour have won the People's Choice for the best street food, and Pint Shop for the best bar or pub. Then there is Six for the best restaurant, and Stir for the best cafe. And Prana has been awarded Best Indian Restaurant in Cambridge by the Lux Life Restaurant and Bar Awards for 2025. So, hearty congratulations to them all, and we'll have some more news later.
Food-wise...
To err is human.
So
we
but good food is divine. So listen to Flavour on Cambridge Radio.
We'll put the heating on as well.
We've got nice fairy lights.
So now that spring is here, we can look forward to the new season's salad crops, and later on fruit and veg. But where do you get them from? If you want really tasty varieties that have been grown in a genuinely sustainable way, in a regenerative way, in fact, you need look no further than A.D. Gordon's Sweet Pea Market Garden, which can be found in farmers' markets in South Cambridgeshire every weekend. Sue Bailey met up with A.D. at the Grantchester Spring pop-up a couple of weeks ago, and A.D. described what she's growing at the moment.
Sweet Pea Market Garden is entering its fourth season now. We grow a lot of salads, microgreens and leafy greens, and also summer crops like tomatoes, cucumbers, courgettes. Always the most unusual varieties we can find, with lots of different colours and flavours, because we love those things.
Yes, and it's so nice to get something that's not your standard supermarket stuff that's been imported from Spain or wherever. So I've noticed you had some interesting things like landcress on your store. I'd never come across landcress. Tell me a bit more about that. What's the difference between that and watercress?
I think it is actually a different plant family, and I can't remember which one it is, but it grows better in soil and doesn't need as much water as watercress, so it has done a lot better this year with this dry spring than my watercress, which has already bolted in the heat. But I always grow both because you never know which one's going to work. It's very spicy and a bit more fibrous than watercress, so it holds up a bit better when cooking.
Okay. And so now is the season for things starting to sprout. So what are the things that are coming into season at the moment?
We're bang in the middle of the hungry gap right now. So most of my overwintered crops are starting to go, and my spring crops haven't quite made it yet. So I'm focusing on salads, radishes, turnips. I've got spring garlic, which is like spring onions, but young garlic, which is delicious, very fresh, and kale. Yeah, a lot of leafy greens at the moment. It will be a month, maybe 6 weeks, before we have things like courgettes, cucumbers, things like that.
So hence the hungry gap. So if you're eating seasonally, you have to be a little bit careful of thinking of obviously stored veg or what veg overwinters, I suppose.
Yeah, there aren't many things that will store for this long. I think there are a few squash that store quite well. Potatoes, carrots, onions, things like that. They're all starting to lose their quality. And most people start buying them in from places like Holland and Spain and things like that at this time of year. Because I focus on UK grown, it does mean that you can't necessarily get what you would be used to. But I do love to highlight all of the things that are available, like amazing turnips and radishes and the kind of really fresh spring flavours, which actually go really well with the weather at this time of year.
Yes, that's very true. We're very lucky at the moment. So what would you say is the most challenging thing you've found in the last 4 years running your market garden?
Definitely working out how to sell to local people. And I keep changing my approach. So at the moment, I'm doing monthly markets, and I'd love to have more weekly places that people could find things from me. So I am going to start selling, well, I tried a bit last year, but I'm going to continue selling at the Cambridge Station on a Friday lunchtime. So that's a way that people can access sweet pea food regularly. We're also looking at doing very local to us deliveries of veg bags. The weather has been very challenging, and every season there's something different. Last year the slugs were awful. This year we'll see what happens. I'm not sure yet. But you do never know. And so that's one of the reasons we grow such a variety of crops, is some things do well one year and then really badly the next. So we'll see what happens this year.
Yes, indeed we will. Yes, yeah, so obviously we don't know what the weather's going to be doing, but what I'm interested in is, where can I actually go and buy produce from you? Can you tell me?
So this year I'm selling at Linton Market, which is the first Saturday of the month, Caxton Market, second Sunday of the month, Histon, third Saturday, and the Grandstands, which is the fourth Sunday of the month. I also sell through Cambridge Organic Veg Box Company. You can add on my microgreens to your veg box if you get one delivered. And sometimes some of my other veg is in their veg boxes as well.
Mm. And so where are you actually based then? And do you sell direct from, if you like, from the gate?
Yes, so I am in Caxton. I'm in the process of developing a website so that people can order and collect direct from the farm. I haven't decided which day that's going to be yet, but you can always get in touch with me through my website if you're interested in finding out more.
Mm, lovely. And what's your website title?
It's www.sweetpeamarketgarden.co.uk.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Sweet Pea Market Gardens produce will be on sale on Fridays at Cambridge Station, starting in May, every Friday from 12 noon until 2 p.m. OK, time for a bit more news now, and Cambridge Cookery and Cafe is closed for Easter at the moment. It will reopen on the 23rd of April. But coming up in the Cookery School on the 22nd of April is a masterclass of Amalfi food from Amalfi-born author, radio and TV chef Ursula Farinio. It's from 6:30 till 10:15 p.m. And among the dishes you'll make by hand are pizza fritta di mozzarella e pepperoni, spaghetti al limone, ricotta gnocchi, and dunderi, and three more. And the cost is £175. At Parker's Tavern on the 24th of April, there is a five-course dinner celebrating wines from Nick Edwards of Saffron Grange and Will Lowe of Fractal Wines, and, of course, the Cambridge Distillery. They will guide guests through a selection of their wines, which will be expertly paired with British classics selected from executive chef Lee Clark. And the cost for that is £85. On the 26th of April, Flourish in Hildesheim has a big plant sale. That's from 9 till 3, and Steak and Honour will be there in attendance providing the food. Next up is Nose to Tail Eating, which is enjoying a bit of a resurgence. At the Checkers in Falmere on the 29th of April, there will be a nose-to-tail lamb meal for £65. This kicks off at 7 p.m. with a welcoming drink. And on the 7th of May, Chef Lee Clark at Parker's Tavern also features lamb on a special menu that uses every primal cut from a single lamb served on platters with locally sourced accompaniments. And the cost for that is £39. Starting on the 8th of May, Mercado Central is having a monthly wine tasting in association with Thorn Wines. It's a seven-course dinner with seven different organic wines from the high-altitude Alto Landon Winery in central Spain, which reaches an altitude of 1,100 metres. The cost for that is £105, and the menu includes chalkstream trout, monkfish, and beef cheeks. There are limited spaces for this, so you'll need to contact Mercado Central for more information and to reserve a space. Now, Amelie has a residency at Wicken Vineyards in Suffolk for the next few months. They will be serving up their famous flumcouche in the orchard, and you can get wine from the vineyard. God, that sounds nice, doesn't it? There is a covered space too if the weather should get wet or chilly, so fingers crossed that it won't. On the 23rd of May from 3 to 5 p.m, Charles from Nethergate Wines will guide you through six wines from the Rhone Valley, along with a four-course meal at Amelie's restaurant in Ben's Yard. So, that's all for now. We'll have some more news later on. And coming up after the break, we talk with Cambridge Juice Company, who are celebrating their 25th year in operation, and we discover a new wine shop in Burwash Manor. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
Cambridge Radio.
Celebrate the heartbeat of our community through the power of women's sport. Every fortnight, Women's Sports Mix takes you from the football pitches to the hockey fields, where skill meets determination. And it's not just about watching, it's about taking part. Find out how you can join your local teams, clubs and initiatives.
I don't think I've really known anyone who's tried rugby and hated it. I really do. I think everyone who I've either dragged along, most of them still play.
Women's Sports Mix, online whenever you want, and Tuesday at 6 on Cambridge Radio.
There's a new look to retirement. It's Strawberry Fields in Stapleford, a brand new Rangeford retirement village. Luxury independent living with a vibrant community. There's a restaurant and bar, along with a village green, gym, spa, and much more. Take a tour of the stunning 1, 2 and 3 bedroom show homes and find complete peace of mind at Strawberry Fields in Stapleford.
Rangefordvillages.co.uk. Exclusively for over 60s.
Catch up with your favourite shows online.
Go to cambridge.radio and look for On Demand.
Welcome back to Flavour. Now, before he went off on holiday, Alan Alda spent one of those lovely warm days that we had a week or so back sitting on the grass chatting with Jason and Kelly of the Cambridge Juice Company. Now, we love companies like this and Sweet Pea Market Garden, who we heard earlier. They truly are local and committed to providing high-quality food and drink.
Jason and Kelly were sitting here in glorious sunshine in Meldrith. In a huge orchard. I didn't know there were big orchards in Meldrith. So this is an apple orchard?
Yes, yeah.
And any idea how many trees there are here? There must be...
I think there's about 400, actually, on this site here. And this is actually one of 4 sites in Meldrith.
And is this where you get your apples from?
It is indeed, yes.
Yeah. What, from this particular one or from all 4?
From all four, yeah.
OK, so you get your apples from here and... You make them into apple drinks. So how do you do that? Who does the crushing, the
So we work with a couple of local farmers. So they pick and press and bottle the juice for us and label it. So they have different varieties of apple. So we're not a single variety juice. Some apples come early, some are sort of mid-season, some are late season. So we use what's ready, and that's what gives us our sort of uniqueness. So we're not just one single flavour.
So you can buy your juices at different times of the year and they'll be made with maybe a different type of apple and the flavour will be slightly different, so there's always an interest.
Absolutely, yeah, that's it.
But your company, which has been selling juices for some like 25 years, has a longer history than 25, doesn't it?
It does, yes. My father actually started the company 25 years ago, but prior to that, we come from a long line of greengrocers. So my dad was a greengrocer, his dad was a greengrocer, granddad was a greengrocer, so that dates back to the early 1900s, where they used to have market stalls at Cambridge and Royston, and they used to sell a lot of fruit and vegetables that they'd grown locally, because they're local farmers, and they used to just take that to market and sell. But towards the year 2000, my dad started, he come out of the market trade and then started the juice company, and it's sort of just gone from there, really.
I suppose the market trade's become steadily more difficult with the rise of supermarkets, has it?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think that was one of the main factors why my dad decided to sort of move out of it, because, as you know, the markets are sort of, you know, quietened down a lot in recent years, which is such a shame because they were such a big part of the community.
Absolutely.
Growing up. And yeah, spent many early mornings at the markets as a young lad helping my dad set up the market stalls. But yeah, such a shame.
But when you set up a new company, or when your company starts doing something as different as making fruit juices and selling them, you've got to be confident. So what made you confident that your juice would sell well? What's special about the juices that you produce?
So for us, what was really important was to use, again, what was on our doorstep, and actually not to change anything about it. Actually just use the fruit that we've got, not add any water to it. We don't add any sugar to it. The apple juice is 100% apples. It's not from concentrate. The apples and raspberries is just apples and raspberries. It's literally just what you see on the label. There's so many times now where you pick up a label and you can't read the ingredients. You have no idea what they are. You don't know what you're eating or drinking. So we just want to keep it simple.
Yeah. So most drinks are made from concentrates, are they?
A lot of juices are from concentrate.
Yeah.
I think the premium juices are not from concentrate, definitely.
And you are one of those premium products, aren't
we
you?
We are, yeah.
And what about new products? Do you produce new products from time to time?
We do indeed. And in actual fact, in our 25th year, we do have some brand new products at the sampling stage at this minute. And hopefully we'll be available. We're hoping sort of May time.
Right, are you going to tell me what it is?
I can't tell you. they're completely something new, something that we cannot find on the market, and just something different to what we do already, but something really exciting over. That we hope everyone will like. Just as much as the juices.
All right,
great addition to the range for sure.
But I suppose, Jason, given your family's history of greengrocering, you had a lot of good contacts, did you? People you could sell to, so that when you launched your juice company, you had people who trusted your brand, I suppose.
Yeah, so my dad built up, some good relations at the universities in Cambridge. And, you know, when he started up the drinks company, they were all for using, you know, premium juice and getting away from your usual high street brands of soft drinks.
Whose name we're not going to mention.
yeah, so they're all for it, and they supported my dad in the early stages, and we've just sort of continued them relationships and supplying, you know, premium products to them, because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what people want to use and drink.
I was looking at the list of products that you have, and I see you do apple and elderflower, and I thought, where do you get the elderflowers from? Because do people just go and pick them in hedgerows or something and give them to you, or what?
Yeah, our farmers source them. That is all local elderflower. It's all local ingredients.
And some other combination, do apple and blueberry, apple and raspberry. Have you got a bottle of it there? Is that apple and raspberry?
Yeah, it is apple and raspberry.
It looks fantastic. And I notice it's cloudy, and to me that's a sign that it hasn't been messed around with too much. Yeah. But how do customers find it if it's cloudy? Do they think, this is the real deal?
Yeah, I think people, when they look at it, they can see that it's... If we had anything to hide, we'd cover the whole bottle up with a label. But, you know, we're proud of the way it looks and the colours, and we think that's a great selling point as well, because, you know, with our range, you know, they look fabulous, you know, together, all the different colours.
And vibrant flavours and
why not use all the natural colours, you know?
Yeah. Are there many places in Cambridge that we can buy your Cambridge Juice Company's drinks from?
We're from places like Kiosk on the Green, Crofters, the Kiosk on the Park, we're in Fitzbillies, we're in the Colleges, Hot Numbers.
Oh, right. Pint Shop, I think I've seen you in Pint Shop.
Pint Shop, yeah, we're in the Pint Shop.
The Orator. They like supporting local as much as we do, you know, we're in... You know, support independence, and we all sort of, you know, we're in this not big family, but we all sort of like to help each other out, you know.
Fantastic. The antidote to supermarkets. Lovely. Thanks very much. Thank
you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Alan sampled some of the drinks that Jason and Kelly sell, the apple and raspberry and the apple and elderberry, and he said how much he enjoyed them and how good it was to read the ingredients on the label, which had nothing scary at all. No preservatives, no colouring. There's Supercharge with Wine, 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 taking us into our wine news. And we begin with Cambridge Wine Merchants. Spring Wine Air at the Cherry Hinton Road branch today. That's the 19th of April from 4 to 8 p.m. The next tasting at the Wine Rooms in Hills Road is Pinot Noir from Around the World on the 23rd of April. And on the 25th, Cambridge Cookery has another of its fun wine evenings, following its highly successful event in February. This one focuses on Madeira and Sherry with tapas-style bites to complement the wines and a not-too-serious quiz. Lots of attendees from the first one have booked up for this one too, so we'd advise being quick with your booking. At Grape Britannia, there is a tasting of exotic varieties of grape that are used in some English and Welsh wines. The date is the 23rd of April and the cost is £25. That begins at 7:30, lasts for 2 hours. Next up is Gutter and Stars in French's Road. They have a tasting on the 8th of May, and there will be 5 of their wines to taste, including current and new wines. And finally, there is a cheese and wine tasting event at Cambridge Cookery with Cambridge-born and bred Angus D. Burditt, who is Fortnum & Mason's cheese expert. Now, this will sell out, so you're advised to book early for this one too. It's on the 27th of September, and it costs £65. Now, continuing on with this wine theme, there's a new wine shop that has opened up in Burwash Manor. Sue Bailey went along to find out more and spoke with owner Matthew Juggins,
who is the owner of Dovecote Cellar. And this is a new wine shop that has just moved into the Dovecote at Burwash in Barton. So, Matthew, tell me a bit more about your background and how you came to be in this area.
I've been in the industry for about 6 or so years now. I sort of, it's one of those funny things with the wine industry. So often you sort of stumble into it and it gets its hooks in you and you never find your way back out. In a good way. I started off actually, a friend got me into home brewing. So I started on the beer side and have since switched over to wine. But that's why you will find the wine shop here at Burwash Manor now sells beer as well.
They look rather interesting beers. Tell me a little bit more about those first and then we'll major on the wine.
Sure. Well, I decided that, you know, this being a farm, it would be nice to focus on local producers. And we do actually have quite a few really excellent breweries around this area. So I decided to focus on local breweries with the beer selection. It's a small selection. I've got two breweries in at the moment, but they're very exciting. I've got Moonshine Brewery and Baron Brewing in. I've known Jack Baron since he started the brewery, and his beers are tremendous, as are the beers from Moonshine. So it's a small but exciting selection, I think, that shines a light on local producers.
Excellent. I don't know anything about Baron's Brewery. Just tell me a couple of sentences about them.
It's a small sort of nano brewing venture, I suppose you could call it. He does a full range of beers, but Jack really specialises in pale ales and IPAs and the modern hop-forward style, so they're juicy, creamy, really, really rewarding and delicious.
And he's based in the Cambridge area?
Well, he's based actually down in North Harts, Great Hawmead.
But not too far away.
Not too far. Not.
Tell me about your background in wine then. I gather you've done a Wine and Spirits Education Trust certificate. And how did you find that?
Very enjoyable, yeah. I came to that a little bit late actually. So it was, I don't want to sit here, you know, sounding all boastful and saying it was easy, but it was enjoyable, and so I'm going to be long term working towards getting my diploma as well.
What are your sort of favoured wine styles, and what are the types of wines that you stock here?
Oh gosh, that's the $1 million question. What is your favourite wine? I know it's a cop out, but I always have to say it depends on my mood. But in terms of the wines I stock here, I have a range of wines from all over the world. It's a small selection, but deliberately, it's small but carefully curated. The whole ethos of Dovecote Cellar is to simplify, you know, to make wine more accessible, less intimidating, and to eradicate the sort of paralysis you get when there's too much choice, when it's overwhelming. So I like to keep things simple. But the wines are from all over the world. I don't specialise in any particular regions or anything like that. If I were to say my specialism is anything, it's excellent wines at excellent value. That's what it's all about for me, really.
I like that. That's a very good description. And how have you found things? Because how long have you been open for?
Oh, just over a month. I was unfortunately delayed opening slightly, so I opened towards the end of February. So I've been open, well, just over a month now. And loving it so far. I've been here in this space actually a bit longer than that. I was running this site for the previous owner, and so I took over when he left. So I've been here about 18 months, which is lovely because it means that, you know, I know everyone here, I know all the other guys at Burwash Manor, and the customers know me as well. So
yeah. I recognised you.
Yeah, exactly.
It is such a nice space, isn't it? Are you going to plan on doing tastings and things like that coming? I mean, what's your next, your 6 month plan?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's beautiful, and I do want to make the most of that. I've got a beautiful space and it's in a beautiful setting. There's lots of exciting stuff in the works. Obviously, I've got my brand new wine list now, which is very exciting. So there's loads of exciting new wines and still a few bottles left of old stock from the previous owner, but they're all on sale now, so you can grab yourself a bargain. But in the not too distant future, I'm going to be doing up the shop a little bit. I'm going to have a little kitchenette installed so that I can start to do wine by the glass. I've got a beautiful space right outside the shop under the walnut tree. I think it's a walnut.
Walnut and willows, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to be doing a little bit of wine by the glass out there once the weather gets warmer, although it's heading that way. And events, absolutely. I've got a couple penciled in already, and I'm going to be doing some really interesting sort of craft workshops with wine and maybe some Meet the Winemaker events later on in the year. And the really exciting thing is my cellar club, which is coming very soon. That's being developed right now in the works. The software is being built. So in a few weeks' time, I'm going to be launching that, which is my pretty unique, I think, take on a wine club. So it's not your average wine subscription service. It's much more sort of interactive, if you like. The whole idea is I will help you to put together your perfect wine cellar, but the customer is always in the driving seat with that. So there's a wait list for that at the moment, but that's coming very, very soon in a few weeks, and I'm very excited about that.
So how do people find out a little bit more about Dovecot Cellar? Do you have a website, Instagram, etc.?
I certainly do, yep. You can find out more about me at dovecotcellar.co.uk. That's my website, and I have a fully functioning online shop, so you can shop with me on there. I can deliver to anywhere in the UK. And you can also find me at Dovecot Cellar on Instagram as well, so I'm easily reachable.
Ooh, excellent. What a lovely spring day it is, and I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed.
Now, isn't it good to hear that there's a new wine shop around, and one that sells not only a choice selection of wines, but also some good local beers, too? Nice that there's a new outlet for Moonshine's Brews, and, oh, this just in, Dovecot Cellar will be only open on Saturdays for the next 3 weeks, as Matthew has just given birth to twins, or rather his partner has. I was never that good at biology. But his web store is still open 24 hours a day, so everyone is a winner. So big congratulations, Matthew. Now for our final feature today, I had a trawl back in the Flavour archives looking for something a bit fun. Several years ago, we posed the question of guilty food pleasures to various cooks, chefs and foodies that we'd interviewed over the years. I think this was partly inspired by a clip that I saw of John Christophe Novelli, who said that his guilty pleasure were those single-processed, individually wrapped cheese slices. You know, the ones that you can buy in packs of 10 or 20? A few of them, grilled on toast. He loved them. At least I think it was John Christophe. My memory's a bit hazy. So, Sue, Alan and I trekked around the city, and we got this.
Cambridge chefs and food producers do have some very interesting guilty food secrets. We'll be covering some today. Let's kick off with a voice very well known to listeners of Flavour, Rosie Sykes. And Rosie is followed by Rachel Roddy, who writes in The Guardian's feast section on Saturdays, and then by Tristan Welch. Rosie, have you got any guilty food secrets?
I have quite a few, I think, but I would say my main one is tinned semolina or tinned macaroni, I think it's Ambrosia does a range of cream, like milk puddings, really old fashioned. That would be one of my guilty pleasures. Just warmed up with some jam plopped in it, like at school. But my other one would be a peanut butter and cucumber sandwich on really soft white bread. I think that counts, does it?
Thank you very much. What's your guilty food secret, Rachel?
I don't know, probably like standing in front of the fridge and eating. But I don't know if that's even really feel guilty anymore. I don't generally feel very guilty. I'll tell you what I do feel guilty, it shouldn't, is that my son, everyone says to me, Luca must eat so brilliantly. And actually, when I'm recipe testing, him and Vincenzo, they eat whatever I am testing. So if I'm testing, you know, two jam tarts and a chocolate cake, both of which that have gone wrong, that is their tea. So I feel slightly guilty about my son's premature tooth decay. But
salt and vinegar crisps and Ferrero Rocher, not necessarily together.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah, will you be revealing your food secrets, Alan?
Oh, well, I might divulge one of them. What about you?
But that semolina one that Rosie was going on about. You know, I never touched semolina as a kid at school because I used to be I love the Roald Dahl books. His autobiographical one, Boy, would go on about all the horrible school dinners that they would do. And that put me off school dinners for life. I was strict packed lunch, you know, from that point. And I've always wondered about semolina. I don't think I've ever had it.
Oh, I think it's nice, actually, but yeah. But you don't expect to come up in everyday conversation. We usually keep it to ourselves.
Now, onto an unusual idea for a drink, which I think definitely fits into the guilty category. Here is Sue Bailey interrogating Stephen Marsh from Pinks to Gin.
Last question. What is your guilty food secret?
Oh, I really like Mars Bar vodka. And you make Mars bar vodka by putting vodka in a jam jar, half fill of jam jar with vodka, chop up a Mars bar, put the chopped up Mars bar in the jam jar, put the lid on tight, put it in the dishwasher.
In the dishwasher?
In the dishwasher.
Oh, wow.
And let it go through a cycle, take it out, shake it, and put it through another cycle. And when it's been through the second cycle, take it out, let it cool. Perhaps then, when it's cooled, put it in the freezer. And you have an absolutely delicious Mars bar vodka.
That sounds so naughty.
It is.
We have made Skittle vodka, and frankly, that was not worth making. But
no.
Mars bar vodka sounds brilliant.
That is my guilty food secret.
Thank you. I love it.
I love it too. Have you ever tried anything like that, Matt?
Nothing like that. I mean, I've always wanted to try the fried Mars bar, the deep fried Mars bar in Scotland. I've never. Have you tried that?
No. We were in Edinburgh or Glasgow a little while ago. We did see it in fish and chip shops. So no, I didn't.
That was an elaborate one.
Yeah, right. Anyway, the next Fearless expose will be of Alex Rushmer, ex-hole in the wall and popping up about town.
But what is his guilty food secret?
I'm half Swedish, and the Swedes have a real love of hot dogs, and that's something that I think is genetic. So if I'm ever feeling really, really sort of hungry and don't have much time to cook, then a hot dog in a fluffy white roll with ketchup and mustard and fried onions, a little bit of chili sauce, I think I could have about four or five of those, no trouble.
The more food secrets now. Gemma Whiting runs Linton Kitchen, and she will be followed by Jan and Paney from Souvlaki Shack.
Do you have any guilty food secrets?
I am a sugar addict because I own a bakery. So literally everywhere I go, I buy so much cake and I just want a spoonful of it to taste and see how different people have done it. But there's no, that's not a guilty secret. I'm just a cakehead.
Guilty food secret.
I don't know if I can even say this. Fish finger sandwiches. Although if we're being really good, and because we're in the waste not whatnot, fish finger pitters.
Fish finger pitters. Yes. I like it.
Yeah, we make our own bread, so fish finger pitters are the way forward.
Brilliant.
Well, actually, obviously being from a Greek background, you think it would be odd, but I love a good shepherd's pie. Mm. It's my thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
A really good quality shepherd's pie. Mm. Yeah, so just good comfort
about
food.
The comfort.
Good comfort food. Yeah, yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
There we are.
Lovely.
God, fish finger sandwiches and pitters. I do agree with that. Let's just go on now to one more guilty food secret.
Yeah, this is Andrew Samolonis from Gourmet Brownies.
Oh, guilty food secret. I would say for me is a bacon sandwich. I really, as people quite often come to me and say, how come I don't look so large, having stood behind a stall of brownies all day, and I think if we sold bacon sandwiches, I'd be in trouble.
Some people are guilty about, quite acceptable things, really. Andrew with bacon sandwiches, and before that, Paney and shepherd's pie.
Yeah, maybe they eat them in bulk or something. But anyway, are you going to tell us what yours is, Alan?
Next time, Matt. Next time, I promise.
So we shall begin with Samira Effa.
Tesco do these like frozen onion rings.
I can't believe you said that.
Literally, I don't know why I like them.
Frozen onion rings.
Frozen breadcrumbed onion rings. That's probably the worst thing that I eat. Yeah.
Are they heated in the oven then, or do you literally deep fry them again?
No. You put them into the oven, and then I'll have them with like hot sauce. Like hot sauce is like my I love hot sauce, so I probably eat it with like hot sauce and mayo and just sit there and eat it. That's probably the worst thing that I eat. Yeah.
I love it.
No one knows about that apart.
Well, they do now.
The whole
Cambridge.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Oh, well, that's hilarious. Samira Effa in conversation with Tina Roche of Cambridge Cookery and Bistro, and what good fun.
But before all that, we revealed that Alex Rushmer, ex-hole in the wall, had the guilty food secret of hot dogs. Now here, he explains why to Tina Roche of Cambridge Cookery and Bistro. But it doesn't stop there.
It's something Swedish, actually. I am a real sucker for hot dogs.
Oh, the Swedish hot dogs.
The Swedish hot dogs.
Now then I have to ask you, boiled or grilled?
Do you know what? I was always a boiled kind of guy until recently when I think that little Maillardy charriness on it is really, really good. Mm-hmm. Slightly warm, slightly soggy bread roll. So the sausage steams it from the inside.
Exactly.
Ketchup and mustard.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And then maybe if something spicy as well, either a bit of hot sauce or some pickled jalapeno chilies. So I'd love a hot dog.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. And they're on every street corner in Sweden. And of course, at that big yellow and blue warehouse. Yeah.
Yeah, so for me, that's about the only reason to go sometimes.
It's
to fill up on hot dogs, yeah.
I must say, I am quite partial to finishing my son's fish fingers.
Really?
Love a fish finger. You know a fish finger sandwich? It's quite good.
A fish finger sandwich with loads of mayo.
Yeah.
Some fresh rocket.
Yeah.
On really thick sliced white bread. Yeah.
And maybe even a little bit of chili sauce in the mayo mixed in.
Sweet chili?
Not sweet chili. Sriracha.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Do you reckon sriracha is your favourite chilli sauce?
I think it's high up there, for sure. Yeah.
We like it on all our eggs, certainly. Mm.
Yeah. But mixed with mayo with sriracha. And hot chips.
Hot chips with mayo and sriracha. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. I got that off Dutch friends, though, so, yeah.
So, if you get chips in Belgium or France or Holland and you ask for it with mayo, it's like having mayonnaise but with a few chips. Yes. They go absolutely crazy for it.
Best way to have.
But it's really good. Yeah.
And that was Alex Rushmer with Liz Young and Tina Roche. Actually, I thought they were veering towards the foodie there.
Well, wait till you hear the next one.
Time to find out the guilty food pleasure of Sam Carter of Restaurant 22. And here he is with partner Alex Olivier.
I'm going to be honest, like pot noodles. I love pot noodles.
What flavour?
Chicken and mushroom.
Sometimes you have the brown one as well, or the spicy one too.
Well, brown is beef.
Brown is beef, yeah.
And I mean, when you're in the kitchen, you finish at 11, 12 at night, you haven't always got time to go home and make a really delicious meal, so...
Yeah.
I'm not proud of it. Yeah, that is a guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
But in terms of food, like, I just like simple, good, tasty food.
Yeah.
And I think that comes from pubs and stuff. I mean, sausage and mash. If it's done well, I don't think you can beat it. A slow braised lamb shank or something like that. It's just proper, hearty cooking.
Fish and chips. Yeah, you can't go wrong. Yeah. Lots of salt, lots of vinegar.
Okay, we return to the more secretive side of chef's choices.
You know, for me it would be, it's not too guilty, but I would have a piece of toast, but it would have to be good sourdough toast, but then I'd like peanut butter on it. And ideally salted butter and peanut butter. Yes. Wonderful.
A lady of excess.
What about you?
Brilliant. For myself, really guilty pleasures, as long as you don't tell anybody, salt and vinegar crisps, not fussy where they come from. I'd eat them off the floor.
Really? I adore salt and vinegar crisps, and the scummier the better. It is.
When we were in Launceston Place, we used to have a record label just up the road, and they hosted an M&M thing. So M&M was in town. They hired the whole of HMS Belfast for one of his record releases, sort of thing. But M&M, the rapper, right? So he's got this big album release on the whole of HMS Belfast. I found this out because they used to entertain their sort of artists at the restaurant after they do these releases and all this sort of stuff. We once had Meatloaf trying to pay us cash for the artwork at the restaurant. but there's fillets of fish. So all the journalists are there, the dancers, the whole thing. It's a big launch on HMS Belfast. M&M is not coming out until he's had a fillet of fish. They put all the buffet on, anything you want. This boy's not getting out of his cabin until he's had his fillet of fish. So they had to send someone out to McDonald's to get it and come back.
Simple pleasures.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if he had anything to eat in the restaurant. Maybe the rest of his crew were...
We're all creatures of habit, I suppose.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? I do find it interesting what famous people eat. I remember reading about Wayne Rooney being on holiday and tucking into chicken nuggets. And just as people used to say that youth is wasted on the young, I do wonder if money is wasted on the super rich. But anyway, I thought I heard your voice in there, Matt, and the one with Sam and Alex from Restaurant 22 sounding very knowledgeable about pot noodles and salt and vinegar crisps.
I can definitely attest to the latter. I have such a soft spot for salt and vinegar. And like I said, the worse, the better they are. There's just something so utterly addictive. There certainly is. And I agree with Sam Carter about the pot noodles. I actually found a pallet of beef-flavoured pot noodles selling for like 24p a pot recently, so I bought half a dozen. They tasted the same as they did donkeys years ago, a bit bland, but as I got to the end of them, I realised that I had been making pot noodles wrong all these years. You know, all you do is you fill them up to the level with boiling water, you stir it, you eat, right? Well, you're supposed to leave them. You're supposed to leave them longer than any sane man would, several minutes or so. And this is what gives the pot noodle its the proper intended flavour, and most importantly, the consistency that they're supposed to have. And of course, I realised that only on my final pot. You know, every day's a school day. So, with that in mind, would I buy pot noodles again? Well, if I ever see them at 24p a pot again, I will. And it'll be my new guilty food pleasure. So, a quick look at food jobs in Cambridge. There's just the one today. The Stove Cafe in Bourne needs front-of-house staff to work from 10 till 3 every Saturday. If that interests you, just email info@thestovebourne.co.uk. And that brings us to the end of another episode of Flavour. You can find us on alternate Saturdays at 12 noon, repeated on Mondays at 2 p.m, and available from all the usual places where you get your podcasts. Coming up next is Strummers and Dreamers. Flavour will be back on the 3rd of May with plenty more food and drink news, jobs and features. So, we will see you in 14 dinners' time. Goodbye.